And I want to look at it according to the Bible. This isn't my opinion, amen? I believe we can look at the Bible and we can see in God's Word what a missionary is and what a missionary should be. And so I want to look at that this morning. First of all, the word missionary itself is not found in the Bible, so we'll have to go to a dictionary to look at that. And in Noah Webster's dictionary, it talks about a missionary. And it says it's one who is sent to propagate religion. The word mission itself, it means being sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business. Now, that's the king's business, amen? Commission, given a commission, and as sent on a foreign mission. And number one, now I know this should probably just go without saying, but I had to put this in, amen? Number one, it's someone who has experienced true conversion, amen? Now, I know maybe some of you, I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I have. I've heard of pastors pastoring churches, and they go to a revival service or something. God gets hold of their heart, and they got saved. Missionaries that maybe have been in the ministry for a time and getting saved. Pastors' wives, God getting hold of their heart, and then maybe being in the ministry for some time, but then getting saved. And this can happen, and how important it is, amen, to make sure that we know that we know that we know we're saved. Amen? In Acts chapter 9, I know it's a little dark in here, but if you can't see it very well, I'll read these verses to you. But I want to look at the life of Paul a little bit this morning. And we see in the life of Paul the example of a real missionary in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 9, we see Paul's conversion. We see how God got a hold of him. Amen? God came after him. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 through 7. The Bible says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe right there, that's when Paul got saved, right there. Amen? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, it don't take no fancy talking to get saved. Amen? You don't have to have it all together to get saved. The Lord talked about the publican man. And all he said was, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right. Amen? I believe my dad, I believe he got saved in the pew before he got down to the altar. Amen? If you hear him tell the story and how God was working on his heart, and he just surrendered right there at the pew. And here's Saul, gets saved, and says to the Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm willing to do it, God, whatever you would have me to do. He surrendered all to the Lord right there. And then the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And then verse 7, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now go down to verse 13. And the Bible says, Then Hananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Is the servant greater than his Lord? No. The Lord has chosen us, amen, as his people, to suffer for his name's sake. And he has a plan for us. And he desires to see that fulfilled in our lives. The Lord came to where Saul was. Amen. Have you met the Lord? Have you had an encounter with God in your life? Do you remember a time where you had an encounter with God? That time, that place, it should be very vivid in our memory. Amen? My salvation experience with God, that day, is the most vivid memory in all my life. Amen? There must have been that time. In John 15, verse 16, we read here, John 15, verse 16, how the Lord has chosen us. John 15, verse 16, the Bible says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And then in John chapter 6, verse 44, John 6 and verse 44, the Scripture says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now this is very important. The Holy Spirit of God is that which draws the person. Amen? God comes seeking for us. We don't necessarily seek for Him. Amen? He comes looking for us. He came looking for me that day. Amen? And unless the Holy Spirit is working on a person's heart, how then can they be saved? See, it's not something you just up and you just snap your fingers and say, "I'm going to do it." Amen? God has to be working in the heart of that person. No doubt you've heard of easy believism. You've heard of easy prayerism that's going around in many of our Baptist circles today. And I think this is very dangerous. And I think it's doing away or pushing away the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we don't need the work of the Holy Spirit. Folks, the work of the Holy Spirit is so important, amen, in salvation. So very important, so vital. It's simple to be saved, but I wouldn't say it's easy to be saved. Amen? A child can get saved. I was a child. I was 5 years old when I got saved. Very, very simple to be saved. Very simple to understand. You don't need a whole lot of intelligence. You can come to God simply by faith, by childlike faith. But the Holy Spirit of God must be working in the person's heart. Amen? There must have been a particular time and a place when you gave your heart to the Lord. Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In Acts chapter 8, we read there about the, I believe it was the Ethiopian eunuch there that Philip was leading to the Lord. And there he got saved down by the waterside. And Philip was the evangelist. He was witnessing to him. He was telling him about Isaiah and explained to him the Scriptures. And it says in verse number 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest,'" showing that salvation comes before baptism. "And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Amen. I believe that's where he got saved, right there. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Amen. So there was a particular time and a place for that eunuch. He got saved right there. Amen. By the water. You can get saved anywhere, can't you? Amen. You can get saved on top of the house. You can get saved in the basement. You can get saved on an airplane. You can get saved on a Ferris wheel. Amen. If God gets hold of your heart, and you're going around that Ferris wheel, and you think you're going to fall off and die, and you say, "Lord, Lord, I need you." Amen. You call the Lord, you can get saved. Amen. Anytime, any place, anywhere where God gets a hold of your heart. And there was a time and a place for the Ethiopian eunuch. And he could remember back that day that he had been with Philip there by the waterside, and he got saved. Amen. What is a missionary? Someone who has experienced true conversion. Number two, a missionary is someone who is called of God. Amen? They have the call of God on their life. Look at me in Acts chapter 13, if you would, please. I know it's a little dark. If you can't see it, just listen. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" Amen. The work that God has called a missionary to is a call of God upon their life. Amen. The Holy Ghost led them in what they should do and where they should go. We see that in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that they were come to Mysia, but they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Now, this is very interesting. We'll read on down here a little bit further. "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision there appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Here there was a certain place that they wanted to go to, but it wasn't God's will. Not at that time, anyway. And God meant for them to go to Macedonia. The whole world needs the gospel, and God wants to save all men. All men need to be saved. Amen? God wants all men to come to repentance. But I believe God leads His people where He wants them to be. And He puts a call upon their life. Amen? And we see that in the apostles' life and in Paul's life. Another thing here, it's not a career choice. It's not something you just, I think I'll decide to do this. You know, this sounds like a good idea, and let's make a go of it. Let's see what happens. You know, you can't do that. Amen? This is God's work. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, notice with me here what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Paul here is speaking of himself. He says, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he might whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now Paul, earthly speaking, he could have done well to remain a Pharisee, to have remained in the religious circles that he was from, where he was raised up in. He could have done very, very well. But he chose to put that aside. Amen? For the Lord's sake, to put aside the worldly things and to go for God with his life, with the call that God had put upon his life. In 1 Timothy, notice with me there, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. It says, "And I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." So here Paul puts all the emphasis back on the Lord, that He had enabled him, and He had put him into the ministry. Amen? It's the Lord's work. And then I want to state also along these lines here that there is a blessed assurance in knowing that you're in the center of God's will. What a blessed assurance that is. Because, brother, when you get out there in the far yonder, you know, with some strange people that speak a strange language, brother, you're going to need the Lord. Amen? And you're going to be there amongst Satan's strongholds. And man, you're going to want to know. You're going to want to need to know that you know for sure that you're called of God to be there. Amen? Make sure of your calling. Make sure of it. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 18. And verse number 8. The Bible says this, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, Lawley's house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.' And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Paul had that blessed assurance that God was with him. Amen? He knew that God had sent him there wherever he went, and he had that confidence in God that he was in the perfect will of God. Amen? And then number three, a missionary is someone who is sent by the local church. Acts chapter 13, verse number 3. I'll have to hurry through this. I've just got a few more points. I must hurry. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They who? They, the church of Antioch. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. The church of Antioch, basically what they were doing is they were agreeing with God. And they laid their hands upon them and they sent them away. And we see that in verse number 3 that I just read. It's just like when a man is called to preach, and the men of the church or the pastors in the area, and they get together, and they have an ordination council, and they lay hands upon that man of God. What are they doing? They are agreeing with God. Amen? Those men are not calling that man to preach. Amen? God calls a man to preach. Amen? God calls a missionary. And the church is agreeing with God. They see by the testimony of the life of the person, the individual, they see God working in their life, and they see the maybe the gifts that God's given that individual, and they send them out and say, God be with you, brother. Amen? And they send them out. And it's through the local church that God has that to be done. Missions is centered around the local church ministry. We see a lot of missions nowadays. It's sort of all over the place. It's kind of, you know, they make up different incorporations, and there's a corporation over here, a corporation over there. It should be, the biblical way should be through the local church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 16, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, being more forward. And of his own accord he went unto you, and we have sent him with a brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the holy, to the glory of the same Lord and decoration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, and have the great confidence which I have in you, whether any do inquire of Titus. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, that they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Amen? The emphasis is always placed on the local church. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Amen? I could go on a little bit further, but for sake of time, I must carry on here. Now, number four. A missionary is someone who goes where there is a need for the gospel. We always see this in Paul's life and the other apostles. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 44. Acts chapter 13 and verse 44. It says, in the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Can you imagine that? Having the whole city come together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? The Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy, and with the Holy Ghost. Here we see the Apostle Paul. He was sent to the Gentiles. God's chosen people had rejected the Lord. We see that in Acts chapter 18, verse number 6. They rejected their Messiah, their Savior. And because of that, the Gentiles were blessed with Brother Paul and other great men of God going to them and sharing them the gospel. In chapter 18, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.'" And then in Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost of Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, 'Go ye unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, they should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." We see how Paul also, how he preached Christ where he was not named. This was something Paul, I think, was very careful about. Very careful. Notice what he says here in Romans chapter 15, verse number 17. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 17. He says, "I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Amen. And then verse 21, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Amen. So Brother Paul was very careful not to build another man's foundation and to go where the gospel was not preached. Amen. To go where there was a need. Amen. And then number 5, a missionary is someone who is supported by local church ministries. We see this in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, when we use this word support, I don't want to just immediately put in your mind the word money. I think we think of many times financial. But it wasn't always so when we look at the book of Acts and how the church has helped him. Many times there were men that went along with him, and they sort of were there to encourage him and kind of be his helpers. And notice what it says here in Acts chapter 15, verse number 2, down to verse 3. It says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Here we see the church was involved in Paul's ministry. They were helpers with him. Amen. I think that's what the local church should be doing. Amen. They should be very involved in their missionary works. Amen. Helping them. It doesn't always have to be money. There's prayer support. You can send things to them to encourage them. You can go visit them, do a mission trip, take some people from your church, take some of your teenagers up. Amen. There's all kinds of things we can do besides just writing a check and just sending them a check. Amen. I think we ought to be involved in our intermission works. Amen. And get out there and encourage them as they did here with Paul. In chapter 17 and verse 14, notice here what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 14. It says, "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving the commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." Here we see that the people of God had a part in his ministry, and they were helping him and working with him. Paul received supplemental support. Paul mentions this in Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, and both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So here he received gifts, he received help, I believe financial, from the church here at Philippi. And then we also see here, it's also interesting, I find it very interesting, that Paul worked on the side. He could always turn back to his tent making if he needed some extra money or whatever, and he would also use that if he made some extra money to help others around him. We see that in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And verse number 33. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, and yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Now, I believe as missionaries go in certain parts of the world, they're going to need to be fully supported. But at the same time, I believe that we ought to keep busy, amen. And Paul did. I mean, he was busy, amen. He was not one to get lazy, and he did this on the side. And I think it was a help during his ministry. And we see how Paul, he was not greedy, a filthy lucre, and that he gives much admonition in the book of Timothy to those that were rich. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Man, we all have to be careful of this, amen? All of us can fall into this trap. Missionaries fall into this trap. Amen? Are y'all awake out there? We do, amen? Getting all this money in, and if you're not careful, you can pad your pocket. I'm telling you, you can get lazy, and you just have to be careful, amen? And Paul warns about that, and warns about money. And Paul was very, very mindful of that fact. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while they have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things, amen, we're to keep our eyes on. Those are the things that we're to be following after. And then in verse number 17, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen. I think Brother Paul had a good handle on the money thing. Amen. Amen. Number 5, someone who is supported by local church ministries. Then number 6, someone who ministers to many different places and peoples. And I must hurry. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3. Notice what the Bible says here. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, these are really the first missionaries, were they not? I mean, these are the ones that, because of the persecution there at Jerusalem, they started scattering about and going all over the place and spreading the word of God. A missionary is someone who goes to many different places and peoples. Paul, if you notice in the book of Acts, I mean, he was jumping around all over the place. He was like a jumping frog. Paul was never in one place very long. I think maybe the most he was in one place was maybe Ephesus. He might have been there 3 years. But he was all over the place. And I'm not saying, don't say Brother Todd Cottle said, if you're longer than 3 years in one place, you're not right with God. Don't you be saying that, all right? If you say that, I'm going to call you. I'm going to get your phone number, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to talk to you. Amen? Only God knows, amen, how long he wants to be in any certain place. That's up to God, amen? But I'm just telling you what the Bible shows here in Paul's life, and that he was always ministering to many different people all over the place, and as God would use him. In Acts chapter 19 and verse number 10, Bob says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, and so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus by both Jews and Greeks. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 31. The Bible says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So we see there he was never one place very, very long. And God used him all over the place. And then lastly, along this line, I want to say that a missionary is trying to work himself out of a job. Was that not Paul's aim? Right? Amen? To bring up the young ones, to bring up the Timothys and the Tituses, and amen, and encourage the Apollos and the Epaphrases and Epaphroditeses, and to encourage them in the work. And he's just, hey, okay, I'll move on. Amen? And I'll go serve out somewhere else. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he wasn't looking to settle down, is what I'm trying to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Bible says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen? So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Amen. And lastly, number 7, a missionary is someone who spends their life laboring in the ministry. I remember my old pastor, many a time, Dr. Sotler would say, I don't want to retire, I want to refire, he'd say. Amen? Acts chapter 20, notice with me here what Brother Paul says here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. I want to go down swinging, don't you? Amen? Was it Billy Sunday? It says, if I lose my teeth, I'll gnaw on the devil. I'll gum him to death. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. The Bible says here, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me in the lying of weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Paul was busy about his Father's business until the day he died. Was he not? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. The Bible says, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now we know Paul was taken to Rome and there he was tried, and we know those were the last moments of his life. But even there, amen, he was standing up for God. He was being a witness and a testimony. In his last days, he was winning people to God, people that were in Caesar's palace. Amen? And they were getting saved. And he said, they salute you. Amen? Praise God. And then lastly, Paul had no regrets. Amen? No regrets. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Amen. May that be our testimony, amen, that we have no regrets. What is a missionary? Someone who experienced true conversion, someone who is called of God, someone who is sent by the local church, someone who goes where there is a need, someone who is supported by local churches, ministers to many different people in different places, spends their life in the ministry. Amen. May God bless you.